Praise the Lord for good music. It's a vehicle by which we express to the Lord the praise that is in there for all that God has done to us and for us. We've looked this morning, Freddie has led us in a focus on the shepherds and the wise men as their souls overflowed with joy based on what they had heard and how God led them. I would like to take a few minutes just to focus on that this morning. Christmas is a time we think about joy, but quite frankly, I have found that it's a time when a lot of people talk about joy and have snippets of joy when we have family come home or whatever, but quite frankly, it's a time where there's not a lot of joy. If you examine the headlines in the newspapers, if we could write the headlines of our own lives, they would not necessarily be joyful. Many times they would be joyless. Just this week, somebody opened up and confided to me that although everything on the outside looked really, really wonderful, inside they were dying. Well, they were even a professing believer. But inside they sometimes wondered if it was all just words, wondered if it was all just fluff, because they felt so empty, so dying inside. You ever been there? If I could offer you gift-wrapped joy this morning, if I could provide joy that would rock your soul, that would explode your heart in the sense of lifting you and pulsating your spirit with glory, would you be interested? Well, you know what? I can't give it to you. But I know who can. And I'd like to share very quickly with you this morning how I believe you and I can plug into that kind of joy. It's found in the Christmas story. Go with me to Luke chapter 1. And I'd like to look at simply two people. Freddie led us in looking at the shepherds and the wise men. I'd like to take a quick look at Mary and then back to the shepherds and see how their soul was impacted with divine joy. First of all, Luke 1, verse 46, Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord." King James says, "magnifies the Lord." How many of you ever used a magnifying glass when you were kids? You know, when you get old, you need it again. Anyway, we used to, you know, fry grasshoppers and light grass on fire and all kinds of stuff. But a magnifying glass really is supposed to magnify. You hold it in front of the words and they get bigger. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Interesting. How do you magnify God? Well, he's already pretty big. But somehow she said, my soul is like a magnifying glass that if you look at, you're going to see God. How? My soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices. Not just joy or joyces, but rejoices again and again and again. It rejoices in the Lord. This is my soul, folks. This is the condition of what's going on inside of me. Rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble estate of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Mary's soul was literally bursting forth with joy. You may say, I'd kind of like some of that. Well, if you would, back up and see how she got it. Verse 26, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. No kidding. Can you imagine if an angel appeared to you this morning and you're looking in the mirror and all of a sudden you see an angel standing over your shoulder and you turn around and they say, "Greetings, child, you are highly favored." That's right, you. That's right, you. God has his eye on you. God has a special plan for you. God has chosen you. You are highly favored. You'd probably have the same reaction, Mary. Who else are you talking to here, God? Not me. Yes, you. Do you hear it this morning? You. God has chosen you. Mary was 2,000 years ago. I'm talking about today. God has chosen you. And He's highly favored you. How? Take a look at it. Verse 30, but the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? Now, obviously, Mary is the only one who actually physically bore Christ. But this morning, I want to suggest to you that you and I can also bear Christ. We can't bear Him physically, but God designed every single one of us to bear Him spiritually. He designed us to be filled by Himself. Augustine said, God has created us with a God-shaped vacuum, and our hearts are restless until we find completeness in Him. Mary said, how can this be? I'm a virgin. I haven't slept with a man. How am I supposed to carry a child? You may ask the same question spiritually. I'm just a human being. What are you talking about? God living inside of me? How is it possible that we, mere human beings, can have the almighty, eternal, all-knowing, all-powerful God living inside of us? How can this be? Nicodemus asked the same question in John 3. How can this be? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. It's a God thing. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Verse 38, Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. Mary had a moment of hesitation. Perhaps her mind was calculating, what's this going to mean? She didn't know the full ramifications. But when she realized she had an opportunity to bear the Messiah, she counted the cost and said, the answer is yes. May it be to me as you have declared, O Lord, I'm your servant. Dear friends, I suggest to you that that response is what brought on verse 46. Because when she made herself available to God, and then God did His God thing and allowed the Messiah to enter her womb. When we do our thing and say, Lord, here am I don't understand this, I don't know how you're going to do it, but here I am, I want to bear you, I want you in my life. He does His God thing, and by His Spirit He comes to live inside of us. And when we, like Mary, bear Christ, our soul will also magnify the Lord. Our soul will also burst forth in praise. Because you know what? You cannot have God Himself inside you and not experience joy. It is impossible. Do you hear it? Impossible. When Christ comes to live inside our lives, one of the natural overflows is pure joy. If you move down to later in the chapter, or pardon me, in chapter 2, it talks about the shepherds, and we get another glimpse of how to experience this joy, not by bearing the Christ, but by sharing the Christ. Freddie mentioned that these were just simple shepherds. They were uneducated. Even if they were, their testimony wouldn't hold up in the court of law. You know, a lot of people who think, I'm not going to share Christ because who will believe me? I'm just a nobody. I'm just a welcome to the club. So were the shepherds. So were the first evangelists. They were nobodies, according to social standards. Verse 8. Chapter 2, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. That's what happens when you encounter God. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of what? How much joy? Lots of joy? You know what the word in Greek is? It's megala. We get our word mega from it. Mega. Mega joy! Impossible to enumerate or calculate. That's the kind of joy I'm bringing, the angel says. Good news of great joy, which will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be the sign. He gives them the sign. The angels sing. When the angels had left them, verse 15, gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that happened, which the Lord had told us about." So they hurried off, found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they what? You with me there on verse 17? When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had told, or concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Here were guys who, man, you... Just as I said, when Christ comes into our life, you cannot... How do you say that in English? You can't not be joyful? Is that proper English? Maybe it's proper Dutch? I don't know. It's impossible not to be joyful. There, I got it. Some of you are saying, go back to your notes, Dave. Just as it's impossible to not be joyful when Christ comes into your life, so when we discover and experience Christ in our lives, it is impossible, I believe, it is truly impossible to not have the heart overflow and want to tell somebody else. Now let me ask you, were these shepherds Pentecostal? Were these shepherds Baptist? Were these shepherds Methodist? Were they Presbyterian? Were they Catholic? Were they Church of Christ? Were they... We could go on and on. What denomination were these guys? You see, sometimes we think that overflowing with Jesus is a denominational thing. It's not. Encountering Christ is a human thing. And when God's people, regardless of our background, regardless of our denominational or our national or our linguistic background, when we encounter Christ, two things will happen. There will be great joy, and there will be an overflow of sharing him with others. And those two things, bearing him and sharing him, will produce the joy that your soul longs for this Christmas. This morning, among many people coming back through town, we have Jason Vokrell. Some of you new folks may not know Jason. But 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago, Jason, like Mary, said, "Here's my heart, Lord. I want to be your child." Only 4.5 years ago. It's hard to believe, Jason. 4.5 years ago, he gave his heart to Christ, became God's child. Last year, he headed out of here to be our, really, Mahdi's first missionary sent from here. And he's been serving about the last year on the ship. Why don't you come and tell us, Jason? He's back here through town for 4 days, and I thought, we just got to grab him. You've got to hear a bit of what God has been doing in Jason's life and through him as he has served. So that's all I'm going to... You tell us the rest. Give us an update, Jason. Great to have you back home. And we're just thrilled with what God has done in your life. And in a sense, you're kind of a modern illustration of Mary. You've given your life, and you're a modern illustration of the shepherds. You're running around the world telling people about this Christ who's invaded your life and brought you joy. Has he brought you joy?
He's brought me joy. Amen.
Why don't you step up to the mic and tell us about it. Okay. Wherever you go.
Good morning, Mahdi Community Church. Morning, brothers and sisters, family, friends, everyone. Yeah. It's joyful to be back in Mahdi. It is so good to be back in a land where I grew up from the 4th grade to the 12th grade at Cairo American College. A land where I left and I went to university. And I tried to figure it out on my own. I wanted to be like Dad, an international businessman, and make it on my own in life. And then in Chicago, that's where I went to university. But then The Lord had brought me back to Egypt. Unfortunately, in tragic circumstances. And I came back here after I heard that I lost a younger brother in a car accident. And that's when my worldview was shaken. I tried to figure it out on my own in the next 6 months, adopting some of the religions and philosophies that I had learned along the way. I was raised in the Roman Catholic Church, so my perception of Christianity was very works-oriented, and I didn't want to go back to that. But about 6 months later, praise the Lord, a man came into my life. And what did he do? He shared Christ with me. And it was in this very country where the Lord, by His grace, came into my life. Because I realized that I was a sinner. And I was really convicted that I needed a Savior. And I remember when the apostles in Acts discovered this great joy and the Holy Spirit came into their lives. Peter shouted, "There's no other name under heaven by which you must be saved." That's Jesus Christ. He is the only way, the only truth, the only life. And there is no one else who can come to the Father except through Him. So it's great to be here. It's great to share. It's great to give you kind of an update of what the Lord has been doing in my life. For the last, I won't cover all the 4 years, but I'll cover the last year. I remember about a year ago, I was trying to figure out what I was going to do next. I was working here in a nice job in Egypt for 2 years. I was working as a businessman, following the footsteps of my dad. And it was a pretty good job. But I had to do something else. And this desire in me was to share Christ with others. And over dinner one night, out of all places, I learned about OM ships, the ships that go around the world serving the nations. 200 people from about 40 different nations, all on board one ship called the Logos II, going out and sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and serving in practical ways, and expressing God's love in a practical way. And I learned this over dinner, and I was like, that sounds pretty good, Lord. I think I will consider that one. I'll pray about it. That was about a year and a half ago. And over the course of a year, because of my family here, and because of the Lord's grace, I've been serving on board the ship for about a year now. And man, has it been an experience. It's been an adventure. I've been to 9 countries so far, Malta being my 10th country. Last night I just arrived from Malta, a land predominantly Roman Catholic. And it's known as the Pearl of the Vatican. It's even more Roman Catholic in Malta than in the Vatican. Out of all places. But Malta is a very unique place, and I've been there for the last month and a half with my teammate, my colleague, my friend, my brother. His name's Mark, and he's come with me here to Mahdi. Unfortunately, he's sleeping in. He's not here at the morning service, like most people. But he's here, and we're here for about 4 days. And it's a joy to be back to see you all. I will just share a couple quick testimonies that have happened over the course of this year being on board the Logos 2. Before I went to Malta, I was working in the deck department, slaving it out there on the foredeck, working sometimes in the water tanks, laying concrete up there and slaving it for the Lord. Amen. Sometimes I asked myself, oh Lord, what am I doing? I want to go back. Well, it was worthwhile. It had built good character, and it was a great experience working alongside other brothers and sisters from around the world. And there was one time when we were in Cape Verde, an island off the coast of West Africa. And they had asked me if I would go along with a team to a military camp. And these military soldiers were in the ages of, I would say, 12 to 20 years old. And they had asked me if I would share with them what God had done in my life. And I said, sure, that's why I'm here. And through a little cultural presentation and a little ship presentation to these young boys, about 25 of them, I began to share. I began to share with them where I was before when I was going my own way. And then when God woke me up and said, here I am, come my way. And at the end, when I was sharing, a man stood up in the aisle, and this was the lieutenant, and he came up forward, and he explained in front of everyone that he was following the Lord when he was younger, but then when he grew up and became a soldier, he had the opportunity to travel around the world and to see different parts of the world. And there he got confused, and there he began to fall away from following the Lord. But what he heard today inspired him and woke him up and opened his eyes and said, yes, Jesus is the only answer. Jesus is the only way. How can I ask the Lord into my life? How can I do that? What do I have to do? Just like Nicodemus asked Jesus on that time, what must I do? And at that time, we all began to pray for this man and for all the soldiers. And all the soldiers stood up and asked Christ into their life that very day. And that was joyful. There's no other experience than to point someone to Christ and say, Jesus loves you. God is in the business. I'm right now to work in Malta and preparing the way for the ship to come in January. I've been ahead of the ship with Mark for the last month, and we've been working on the permissions, the publicity, and the program with local churches in Malta to really bring a blessing to this nation. And we want to, our main goal and one of our main aims is to bring people back to the Word, back to reading the Bible. And as Freddie was sharing earlier, and Pastor Dave, I'm reminded that a verse in Scripture says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for it is by grace that you have been saved, and not by works. It is the gift of God. Jesus Christ is the greatest gift. And by having Him come indwell into our lives by His Holy Spirit, we can experience that joy and we can follow His command wherever we are in the world to go out and share His love, go out into the nations as the Logos 2 and the Doulos are doing, and be an encouragement to local churches around the world in that ministry, and also pointing people to the Lord. So I'm so thankful for your prayers, Mahdi Community Church. I remember the time when I left. I was a little scared about making the step of going and serving on board the ship. But I can say now that it's been the most worthwhile experience. And I got another year of commitment on board the vessel. I don't know what's going to happen next, but the Lord knows. Thank you for your prayers and your support. Continue to pray that God will bless the people of Malta and build bridges between Roman Catholics and people that in evangelical churches there. And this very Christmas, my wish, my prayer for you is to really be focused on the Lord at this time. For Christmas, if we cut off that miss, it's Christ, what we're celebrating. It's Christ coming down and bringing us back to the Father, redeeming us. So praise the Lord this very day. It is joyful to be. Pastor Dave, I've just arrived yesterday. I'm a little tired, but I'm very joyful today. God bless you this Christmas. God bless you, everyone. God bless. Thank you, Dave.
Before you go, Jason, we are also thrilled to have you back home.
Thanks.
You would agree, wouldn't you? And although you never, I didn't even have a chance to ask you this morning, you've been gone a year. Many of our people have, as you say, have prayed for you. We've also been, others have been supporting you.
Yes.
Do you mind me asking you, is your support up to par, up to speed, or can you use a little extra? That's putting you on the spot, I know.
Always. I guess we could always use a little extra.
If people want to give toward your ministry,
yes.
Can they see you after?
Yes.
Okay,
sure.
Let's just leave it that way. Okay. Jason has shared this morning what God has done in his life, and it ties in, so we didn't have a chance to compare notes this morning, but it ties in perfectly to what we hear in the scripture, because truth always jives with itself. And this morning I would simply ask, if you want the joy that you see in a guy who's tired but still overflowing, if you want the joy that we see in Mary and the shepherds, if you want the joy that God designed you for, then can I encourage you this Christmas to make a decision in your life to be one who bears Christ and one who shares Christ. And if that's your desire, will you pray with me right now and express that to the Lord? Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning for your truth, which goes right to the core of our being. Thank you for the way your Spirit speaks to us where we're at. Lord, you know our human condition is so much less than you designed us to be, and our experience of joy is so much less than you fashioned us for. But Lord, inside, deep inside, we long to know the joy that your word speaks of, that your word illustrates. And so we ask this morning, Lord, that as we open up our lives to the joy giver, that we would in fact be experiencing and then overflowing with this life-giving stream of joy that comes from your heart into us. Lord, we ask this morning again that you would come into our heart We open the doors. We invite you in. We ask you to be our Savior. We ask you to be our Lord. Come and take over and do within us whatever you want to do. Like Mary, we say, behold, here we are. We are the Lord's servants. Be it unto us as you would have it be. And then, Lord, as you come and fill afresh by your Spirit, as you come and take over these vessels which we offer you, we ask that you would fill us so full that we can do nothing but overflow and share with other people the great news of your coming, the great news of your salvation, the great news of your gift of joy, of life, both here and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.